All right, settle down if you will, please. Does everyone have a copy of the agenda?
Aren't we doing a team-building exercise this year? Those are usually a lot of fun.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Agnes, but I'm afraid that opinion is quite in the minority. As you will recall, I asked for everyone to let me know if there was anything in particular we should be sure to cover today. I received several responses, and each and every one of them ended with a P.S., suggesting that we skip the team-building exercise.
It seemed altogether prudent, given the results from last year. As I recall, it took Professor Franklefuss well into October to locate his missing foot.
I did have a spare, but I had to wear mismatched shoes for over a month. If we insist on doing another scavenger hunt, I strongly suggest someone else donate their body parts to be the missing items.
Yes, well, that has its own logistical difficulties.
Nonsense! I can sew back anything you lose, lickety-split.
As I say, we're skipping the team-building exercise this year. Perhaps we may focus on the matters which are on the agenda rather than those which are excluded.
I'm sorry, everyone.
That's quite all right, Agnes. Now let us begin with the new standards from the State Board.
The new standards are ludicrous.
As I say, they're from the State Board. There's no need to be redundant, Professor Vladivost. I believe the standards for hauntings and stalking speak for themselves.
I actually had a question about the stalking standards. Did I read that correctly? That each student will be graded individually?
Technically, yes. However, I happen to agree with you that when it comes to the zombie students, we should be giving special consideration to their progress as a horde. So long as the group's shambling speed is at an acceptable level, I don't see why it would be a problem to simply give everyone in the horde the same grade.
I think that's fair. Thank you.
Of course. Now, as to the interdisciplinary standards, that is where I see we'll need some new approaches. Professor Hagscackle, are there any scheduling difficulties with the potions lab to consider? Agnes, dear?
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. I was reviewing the standards. I don't think scheduling will be a problem.
Your tone suggests you believe something else will.
I have two concerns.
And one of them is the budget.
I'm sorry. You know, I hate to do this every year, Gregor.
There is no apology necessary. I happen to agree that you need the new materials, but I don't see how we can possibly afford them.
What materials are we talking about?
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm all about inclusivity, but making potions a mandatory subject for all students has some challenges. I'm not going to have nearly enough measuring utensils or cauldrons.
Can the students not clean the equipment for the next class?
Well, that will cut into instructional time. My plan for the cleanup was to summon a few more helper imps.
We can certainly add more imp food to the budget. I don't see that as a problem.
That's sadly the least of the issues. Potions often need to steep for days. I'm going to need several more sets of cauldrons, not to mention something to heat them on. I frankly don't know where I can find the space.
You know, last Halloween I went for a little hunting expedition at a party the humans were throwing. They had a device I believe they called a cauldron pot.
That was a crock.
Yes, that was the word. I wonder if you could use something like that.
That might be an option for the basic level classes. Functionally, it should work, but I think we can expect some of the parents to object.
It is hardly the visual we want to present as an elite academy for the ghoulish arts.
I'd also love some suggestions on helping the G&P students to succeed.
Perhaps we need to co-teach that class.
I'm not sure I understand why physical education and potions would need to be taught together.
Well, it's a little disingenuous to call it physical education when we're talking about ghosts and poltergeists anyway. Most of what I do for those students is teach them how to interact with the physical world.
I think Fred has a point, Headmistress. Measuring out ingredients and stirring might not seem like particularly difficult tasks, but when you're non-corporeal...
Ah, yes, I see what you mean. Of course, I'll need to completely overhaul the schedule to coordinate this. Yes, I thought that might be your reaction. As always, I'll get the schedule to you as soon as possible, and you may take any complaints you have and deposit them in the appropriate receptacle. Yes, Gregor, I have not suddenly forgotten that I cannot schedule any classes with you or any of the vampire students between dawn and dusk. I will thank you to remember this is not my first year in the position.
I appreciate the consideration.
Yes, well, we shall see about this as we move on to the other major concern I see with the new state standards. As the head of the transformation department...
I am being asked to do the impossible. Yes?
Perhaps not the most helpful of attitudes.
Transformation into two separate forms as a minimum standard? Preposterous. A werewolf turns into a wolf. Even if I could teach one to turn into a Doberman Pinscher instead, what is the benefit? And what, pray tell, am I supposed to do with the skeletons?
That is, naturally, what we're here to discuss. Now, the vampire students are generally expected to take on the form of a bat, a wolf, or of mist. We may consider them covered.
Any of the hags should be able to manage potions to change into a frog and a rat by the end of year one. That should count, shouldn't it?
I would assume so, yes. And the G&B students should have an easy enough time. Ectoplasm is malleable stuff, and I expect some of them will consider coming up with new forms to be more of an art project than anything else. But I am still stuck with the ghouls, and most of the undead students.
May I see the new standards, please?
You have an idea, Professor Frankelfuss? The seams on your skull always stretch when you're thinking too hard.
I know we usually reserve teaching zombies and skeletons about removing and reattaching limbs until year three, but...
Would that count? A skeleton with arms and legs reversed seems to be a different form to me, but it's not transformation in the classical sense.
Gregor?
I don't believe it is what the board intended, but I suspect that this will be a case where it will be easier to beg forgiveness than to ask permission.
In my opinion, when the law is inherently stupid, there's no shame in finding a loophole. Now, we haven't come up with a solution for ghouls, werewolves, and a few of the other students.
And I do not believe we will find one. Some students are simply going to have to learn spellcasting, potion making, or some other skill set they have not been expected to excel at in the past.
That's not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
Need I remind you of what happened the last time we dabbled in cross-curricular studies?
I believe we've all learned from our mistakes, and I trust we will not be so foolish as to allow more sparkly vampires to crop up.
It doesn't look like we have much choice either way.
No, I suppose not. If anyone has friends at other schools or academies, I would appreciate it if you would reach out to them and see if they have other approaches we have not considered. But in the meantime, we will do the best we can with what we have in place.
So, is that the meeting then?
Not quite. If you'll kindly direct your attention to the last item on the agenda.
This just says, special announcement.
Yes, Agnes, it does. The announcement is this. I have asked the school board to begin the search for my replacement. I will be retiring from my position at the end of the school year.
Oh, Headmistress, we'll miss you.
Enough! Let us not indulge in anything so maudlin as saying our farewells. We have plenty of time left to us for me to make you all wish I'd get out of your hair a good deal sooner. The reason I'm bringing this up now is that I wanted to give you all a chance to brush up your curriculum vitae.
You'd like us to consider employment elsewhere?
Of course not, Professor Frankelfuss. My hope is that one or more of you will apply to take over my position after I leave.
I appreciate the vote of confidence, of course, Headmistress. However, I'm not sure I have the...
Lack of a body? I'm sure you're going to use a euphemism, but that is what you meant, is it not? I appreciate your respect for the traditional, Professor Vladivost, but times are changing. Just because the previous headmasters and headmistresses of this academy have all been literal floating heads, that doesn't mean it's a requirement for the position. As heads of your departments, if you'll pardon the pun, any one of you should be able to step into my metaphorical shoes.
I would certainly support Agnes or Fred taking over the position, but I will not be throwing my hat into the ring. My relationship with the school board has been contentious.
I don't believe anyone really thinks you used mind control to get the teachers that raise during the last contract negotiation.
That is kind of you to say, but nevertheless, I feel there is some bad blood there. Not a term I use loosely.
Professor Hagscackle, you're the most senior professor here.
Thank you, but no. I like teaching, but I can barely tolerate administration.
I think you have more talent there than you give yourself credit for, Agnes.
I appreciate that, Gregor, but there's a difference between being able to do a job and wanting to do it. Besides, Fred, you're the obvious successor here if it's going to be one of us. You have a degree in administration, don't you?
Depending on which brain I put in my head in the morning, I have a degree in just about everything. I'll discuss it with my bride, of course, but I'm tentatively interested in the position, provided, of course, that they do not insist I move into your office.
Oh, yes. I'd forgotten you don't care for an office with a fireplace.
My bed! Excuse me.
Of course, dear. That may be another good reason to purchase the cauldron pots if you two are going to co-teach potion brewing, now that I think on it.
I see that point. Fred, please use me as a reference if you decide to apply. You have my full support.
And mine. Though that might end up doing you more harm than good.
Is that the end of the meeting, then, Headmistress?
It is. You may commence with the annual dash to be the first one at the copier. I have a substantial wager on Professor Vladivost being the first this year.
Why?
Years of experience, Agnes.
You have been listening to In Service, produced by See to Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Agnes was Jill Wenzel. Fred was Andrew Dell. Gregor was Rick Tennant. And the headmistress was Brianna Kubi. Thanks for listening, masters. We'll talk to you later.
And now that you've finished listening to what is possibly the worst Peter Lorre impression ever recorded, I'd like to bring to your attention that at DCP Theatre, September 13, 14, 15, 20, 21, and 22, you can come see Dan and Jill Wenzel performing as the King and the Queen of Hearts. It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to be crazy. DCP Theatre, that's theatre, R-E, .com. Get your tickets today.